Good morning, Boker Tov and Chodesh Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emuna. Thank you so much. Thank you. Our Emuna series is generally sponsored by Dr. Zavi and Bella Morgan. Actually, I had the merit to meet Bella's brother the other night. And in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbert, in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Shanzer, who lived a life of service to Jewish community, Chesed, for Shmira over all of our holy and precious soldiers. This series is also generously sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers of Yeshiva, B'nai David, and Mechina. We also remember the wounded soldiers and their families. This week, we're highlighting Sergei, a 50-year-old father of two, married to Yana. He made Aliyah in 1998, serves on a combat engineering unit. He insisted on continuing to serve. He suffered a serious head injury due to shockwaves from the blast of an explosive device in Lebanon. And we dive in for a speedy, complete, and painless recovery. This morning, Shir is sponsored by Shmuel and Esther Shai with the Nishmas, his father Yaakov, Yudim, and Gedalia. The schus of Rafua Shlema for her mother, Batsheva Bas Bluma Rivka. Anonymously for Rafua Shlema, speedy recovery of Sarah Bas Michelle Michal, by Sarah Margulies in memory of her father, Meir Fain, and by Gitti Baskli Lenishmas Menachem Mendel Ben Rav Yosef. Thank you to all of our generous sponsors. Okay, Living with Emuna. Back to Living with Emuna. Before I dive back into the emails that we darshan and learn together, because the emails, in their own right, the stories of hope and of faith are enormously strengthening and worth reading, listening, and learning. But also they stimulate the very Torah from us. So before we dive in, I'll tell you for me, we were flying back yesterday, Baruch Hashem, had to go to New York for a simcha, coming back yesterday, and at the airport, always airport. You're going to get sick of my airport stories, but the airport is ripe. It's like the ultimate place for Emuna stories. Going through security, flying through, no line, everything good. And of course it beeps. Now, I think since Pesach, I've had to travel every week but one, and it never beeps. I'm a seasoned traveler. It's not amateur hour. I know how to empty my pockets, no liquids. I know what I'm doing. So why'd the thing beep? So I asked, why'd it beep? So they say, you've been randomly selected. I said, excuse me, nothing is random. I am where I'm meant to be. They said, yeah, whatever. So I guess a JFK TSA is not, it's not listening to Living with Emuna. But I just thought how we use that word. In an airport, everything's random. Randomly selected, randomly looking at your luggage, randomly seat assignment, random, never randomly upgraded. Random. But we know we live with Emuna. Nothing is random. Everything is by design, of course, from above. So again, rather than get frustrated, truth is we had plenty of time, so there was nothing frustrated about it. But rather than get frustrated, what do you mean random? I'm seasoned. You know who I am? How often I travel? I was flying right through. Why do I have to go again and take off my belt and be patted down? I need to get a restraining order against you. Why do I need to go through this? Instead of feeling all that, when you live with Emuna, when you learn Emuna, then you're along for the ride. And you realize, and that's that code word. Whenever anyone uses the word random with you, you should realize that nothing is random. That's another way of a little reminder, a little kiss from Hashem. I'm here. That wasn't random. For whatever reason, you were meant. You were meant. Maybe you need a little more cheshbon and nefesh. Maybe you need to do a little bit more of a check on yourself. Maybe being randomly selected is a reminder to do more of a search and a careful review of yourself. Okay, that was one story. So I was at an event recently, and the caterer, amazing caterer, did a great job. Beautiful, beautiful night. And apparently very successful, blowing up, catering major events. And he looks kind of young to me, the head caterer, the guy who's putting on the whole event and doing a fantastic job. And I understand doing well everywhere in what he's doing around the tri-state area. So I said, how old are you? You ready? You sitting down? This caterer is 17 years old.
What?
I won't say what community he grew up in, but he was kicked out of yeshiva in ninth grade. And instead of turning to a life of ill repute, instead of deciding that others have given up on him, he'll give up on himself, he'll walk away, he'll hang out with the lowest common denominator, whatever that means, we shouldn't judge people of society, he'll engage or get caught up in the wrong things. Instead of any of that, he decided, I'm going to go pursue my passion. So he told me, he said, you know, people often ask him, are you angry at the Rebbe who kicked you out? Are you angry at the Manal, the head of the yeshiva, who in ninth grade threw you out of yeshiva? He said, angry? Why would I be angry? He launched my career. He launched my business. He launched my life. It wasn't him. This was all Hashem's plan. I was blown away by this young, 17 years old. He can't drink at the bar that he's arranged and that he's serving. But unbelievable. He should have a lot of success. And I was impressed, by the way, because he said, are you having a Maariv? Let me know. He wanted to join Maariv. Might have been kicked out in ninth grade and built this career, but he was still looking to chap Maariv if there was going to be a Maariv in the corner. She'll have a lot of hatzlacha. But he blew me away with his attitude and mentality that no matter which way life kicks us out, kicks us in, kicks us to the side, and we tend to focus on the person who did it. How could they? How dare they? And we live a life of focus on them with bitterness and resentment and anger. And all that does is sabotage our success. All that does when we think and we see someone blocking our path, we feel, I can't believe they're blocking my path. They're blocking my path. We read a couple weeks ago that Bilam is heading on his donkey to go curse the Jewish people. And he sees an angel that's blocking the road. And so the donkey does, that is. And he stops. And Bilam, who doesn't see it, kicks his donkey. And there's three episodes and three times he kicks the donkey. Finally, the donkey can't take it anymore. He speaks up and he says, what is going on? I served you so faithfully. What are you kicking me? What is happening here? Don't you see this angel blocking my path? And Bilam says, Chatasi, please forgive me. Forgive me because I didn't see you. So I saw, and I apologize, I forget where I saw, that someone asks, what do you mean forgive me? If the angel that was blocking the road wasn't visible to Bilam, why does he need forgiveness? What did he do wrong? He couldn't see it. So what's the matter? What's the matter? Why is he saying sorry? Why is he saying forgive me? And the answer is, what Bilam was saying was, when the path gets blocked, I'm sorry my eyes weren't open. I'm sorry I wasn't looking at life and trying to interpret that I was being rerouted. I was being sent another direction. I was being asked to pivot. Something was blocking because that wasn't the best road for me to go. And if I tried to nevertheless plow through and run over, if I tried to nevertheless insist on taking the road and the path and the journey the way I see it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Because Hashem, through life and through this world, sometimes puts an impediment or obstacle in our path because he is rerouting us. And we can get lost and we can become focused on that which is blocking us. Or we can say, I'm clearly meant to go another way. This 17-year-old young man is not focused on the person who threw him out. That's that person's problem. I don't know, right, wrong, what the issues were. The Kalish holds nobody should ever get thrown out of anywhere. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm not involved. I don't know the details. That's between him and Hashem, this Rebbe, this Menahal, this Rosh Hashiva, ultimately. But what blows me away, and what should inspire all of us, is that this young man, rather than be filled with bitterness, anger, and resentment at that which was blocking the road and blocking his path and blocking the direction he wanted to go, said, I pivoted. And look how I pivoted. Why would I be angry? I'm only grateful. And why would I focus on him? He was just a shliach of Hashem. This is where I was meant to go anyway. And so all of us, when sometimes we're rerouted, the job, or that shidduch, or that house we wanted to buy, or that trip we were planning to take that summer, or that, we don't know. You know, a lot of people have plans to go to Eretz Yisrael this summer, to go to Israel. There's all kinds of questions, what's going to happen at the airport, now that America has a lot of refueling tankers and airplanes that are sitting there. Who knows? So you could be anxious and worried and afraid, or you can say, we'll see what Hashem has in plan. If I get rerouted, we'll go on the adventure. What's next? We'll see what adventure is next. Okay, those were my emails to myself. I didn't have to write the emails because I just remembered them and I told them to you. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, hope you're doing well. Not an email I thought I'd be sending or wanted to share. I miscarried 6 months ago, and these months due to the podcast, I spent building up my emunah to an immense degree. It truly felt like everything happened for a reason, was from Hashem. I started fertility treatment again and I got pregnant. I went to my first appointment with my doctor at 6 weeks. He saw a good steady heartbeat and good number on my blood work. My husband and I felt everything was falling into place. A month before the due date from my miscarriage, I felt like I was at a point where I accepted everything had happened, and I truly trusted Hashem and his methods. A few weeks went by. We went to the doctor again at 9.5 weeks. Unfortunately, I miscarried again. The doctor discovered I had been pregnant with Mamo twins. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, M-O-M-O. Twins would share one sac and one placenta and account for 0.01% of pregnancies. Because they're extremely high risk, putting the mother on bed rest in the middle of the second trimester, resulting in C-section early in the third trimester. This was a week ago and I'm having trouble trusting. I feel as though I trusted Hashem fully and he hurt me. The comfort that I've been able to find is the following. I really wanted twins before I got pregnant. I'm not sure why or what came into my mind. I needed to agree. I was davening for twins. When we got to my first sonogram, my husband and I were so excited, but a tad disappointed. It was one. Even asking the doctor to make sure, because we both had a weird feeling it was two. When we went to my next appointment, they told me in the same breath it was two babies, but that I miscarried. I told my husband, I think Hashem had rachmanas on us. We both would have been filled with immense joy knowing it was two, and the pain would have been too much when we lost them. I view the first sonogram as a wink from Hashem, where the second baby was hiding. So was Hashem. But only in the second sonogram were we able to see the second baby was there the whole time, and he was holding our hand, even though he wants us to experience trials and tribulations for whatever reason right now. I'm not sure why this is happening. I'm not sure why I can't have a baby right now. I'm not sure why the age gap between my children is growing rapidly or why I haven't been able to daven well. What I do know is I think there's a bigger picture in what Hashem has spared us from whatever pain he could in the midst of it all. Wishing everyone who is davening for a baby a healthy and happy Be'ezras Hashem soon. I hope this brings some nechama from one yearning mother to another. So again, it's so real and raw, that email of somebody who says, I'm having trouble davening, I'm having trouble seeing him. But at the same time, I'm so grateful to him, because there are ways that even in the midst of this darkness and in this pain, even in this place, nevertheless, I still feel a little wink, a little hug. It's possible to feel both. So before we get back to the emails, I want to darshan this one up a little bit. But I want to tell you, today's Rosh Chodesh Av. Today's the first day of the new month of Av. And Av, if there's any month on the calendar that we characterize as being filled with sadness, it's Av. Av has, of course, the destruction of the two Batei Mikdash, began all the way with the Meraglim and their terrible miscalculation that continues to harm us until this day. And Av is filled with all these calamities and tragedies of the past. I don't have to take the time now, but if you go through the calendar, you see from the Inquisitions and expulsions and the Crusades all the way through the Holocaust, there are terrible events that fell in this month, and specifically on that day, Tisha B'Av. It's a terrible month, a horrible month, an inauspicious month. And it's a month that we're mourning. No music, no haircuts, no shaving. Now, as of last night, no meat, no wine. This is a month that we feel that pain. And we think it should be characterized. We have to walk around despondent, sad, miserable, and hopeless. So it comes along the Magen Avraham, the Maggid of Trisk, and he says the following. The world thinks these are the lowest. These are the lowest and the saddest and the most miserable days of the entire year. And in fact, the reason we abstain and we refrain from doing the things that bring us joy and happiness is because as of today, we diminish, we limit the joy, the happiness we feel. Listen to what he says, the Maggid of Trisk, that the truth is the opposite. On these days, we must, even though in many ways it's harder than any other days on the calendar, to serve Hashem from joy, to find a way to put a smile on your face, to find a way to fill your heart with happiness, to find a way to see the good and feel the good and be filled with joy. As it says, Ivduash Hashem b'simcha. Of course, this is the day that we're not in front of the Aron that has the pasuk on top. Ivduash Hashem b'simcha. Serve Hashem b'simcha, with joy. U'lehizrachik mimara shchora sh'yamida grua b'yoser mikol amidas ros. A Yid, a Jew, has to avoid depression, despondency, sadness. I don't mean the clinical type. Person who's filled with clinical depression, it's no one's fault, should be no shame or guilt, it's nothing anyone's done, and of course only love and support. I'm just talking about a general sadness. Person sad, their favorite team got knocked out of the World Cup. Person is sad because it's hot and humid outside. A person is sad because even more significant things that bring a sense of sadness. But sadness, says the Maggid of Trisk, really it's from the Baal Shem. The Baal Shem was the one who emphasized, is the worst midah, our kryptonite, the character trait which will bring us down, the one that undermines everything else, the one that will destroy relationships, is sadness. When you walk around down and out and sad and hopeless, then you can't serve Hashem. You'll struggle in your amunah, you'll struggle in your davening, you'll struggle in your performance of mitzvos, you'll struggle in doing chesed, you'll struggle in giving tzedakah, you'll struggle in everything that you do. Struggle. If it's against the backdrop, it's built on a platform of sadness and misery and hopelessness and despondency, then you can't succeed in your avodas Hashem. Then relationships, who wants to be around such sadness? somebody who's always negative and down and out, who's hypercritical and sees what's missing and always feels like a victim of everything. Who wants to be around such a person? You push people and the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty himself away. This is the worst of all character traits. Ki l'kol ha'cholaim yesh refuah. When it comes to all other illness, there is an antidote. Melvad mara shchora shekasha me'od l'refuaso. But this deep, dark lowliness and sadness, there's nothing else. Because man sha'adam shayi b'mara shchora eini yachol esorah b'tshuva u'leschazik l'salos. You got to believe. You got to be happy. You got to be positive. You got to be optimistic. You got to be ambitious. Whatever you want to conquer today, and every day has to be a day of growth. So what is it you want to achieve today? How are you going to conquer this day? What are you going to get done today? Now for some, someone sent me an email recently asking me, we always talk about our mission, our purpose, we're going to unleash our nishmasi, our fingerprint, what are we leaving on the world? What's our mission? Why are we here? What's our why? Why are we awake? Why did Hashem renew our contract for another day? This person said, I suffer from a chronic illness. And it's hard for me to even get through a day. So what's my mission? I'm not starting an organization. I'm not solving world peace. I'm not volunteering, barbecuing at army bases. I just struggle to get through with my chronic illness. So I said, that's your mission. That's your mandate. We make the mistake of thinking that my mission is something huge and large. Now, unfortunately, social media, the internet has reinforced this, that we evaluate the meaning of a mission by how many followers you have. Whether you're an influencer, whether people send you free stuff, whether the world is following everything you do and say, ooh, who has a big mission? The people who have a large following. But that's not true. You could have the biggest influence without anyone even knowing what's happening in your life. When you live a righteous life and a noble life, when you fight to get through a day with faith, when you struggle to get out of bed or even stay in it, but you put a smile on your face no matter what's happening. We've talked about my friend, Joko, Rabbi Jonathan Cohen. Your person could have a terminal illness, a young man, husband, father, son, a terminal illness, and they insist on putting a smile on their face no matter what's going on, with faith in Amun and Hashem, that everything's for a meaning. Wow, that's a mission and a purpose. So to have that smile, to have that optimism, that hope, to have those aspirations, to say, I'm going to conquer, I'm going to kill this day. Maybe killing this day just means making it to the end of it, with a smile. Maybe that's all it means. You can't even leave your house, you can't even get out of your bed, but you're going to insist on living with emunah and with a smile to see and talk and feel Hashem's presence. That's a successful day. That's a mission and a mandate. But whatever it is, whatever ours, whatever we want, a difference we want to make, whatever organization we want to found, or whatever world peace we want to achieve, or whatever we want to get done, it won't happen if we're sad and down and out. Simcha is the prerequisite. Simcha is the platform. Simcha is the backdrop. Simcha is the basis for mental, physical, emotional health, for anything we want to achieve. So we think these days, today Rosh Chodesh Av, for the next 9 days, we think our job is to walk around. And who is living the 9 days the best? The one who's the most miserable. We think who gets the award? 9 days camper of the year, the one who's the most miserable. It's possible I have a son who's possible goes to camp, and possible he's at an age and stage of life that like showering is not his thing, and possible all of a sudden he becomes the frumest camper in the world, that he tells his counselors, not a lot of showers in 9 days. This halacha he knows well. So we think that halacha, the 9 days, I'm going to walk around, I'm going to win 9 days of the year. How? Because I'm going to be the most miserable, most depressed, most negative, most fabisana, most no one wants to be around person. I'm the 9 days person of the year. Says the Maggid of Trust, no, you're not. You're getting it all wrong. You're getting it backwards. Do we abstain from meat and wine? Yeah, because we're mourning, we're grieving, we're sad. We're confronting the reality that we're living a life with no Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash, where 10 miracles happened a day, where there was no doubt, where you can go and feel with confidence and clarity, there's Hashem in my life. Nothing is random. It's all by design. It's all curated from above, and we're missing that. There's a Silik HaShechina. There's a Hester upon him. Hashem is hiding. He's hiding. Even though I feel he's revealing himself a little bit to us. That Saudi Arabia and the Houthis are killing each other. That America is taking care of Iran, as of the UAE and other Gulf countries, while Israel, B'li Ayin Hara, is just going about its business. They're like the ones who are like, don't notice me, we'll just keep going, you know? Baruch Hashem, Bali, Ayin Hara, no one's running to bomb shelters, no ballistic missiles. Everyone seems to have a shared interest in Israel staying out of this, which Israel probably maybe is okay with too. And you feel like Hashem is winking at us. Hashem says, I'm taking care of what you need, but through others. They're taking care of it. They're taking care of it. So, but nevertheless, it's a period of Hester Panim. Hashem is hiding. He's hiding from us in these 9 days. But says the Maggid of Trisk, you know, did you know? It's okay even Avelos to smile. It's okay to cry and smile at the same time. Do you know you could smile your way through the tears and you can cry your way through the smile? Do you know you could feel something's missing and be sad and at the same time recognize Ivdus Hashem b'simcha, but as long as you're at my side, as long as Kiata Imadi, you're walking with me, as long as you are together, and as long as I know that nothing is random or chance, I can still feel simcha. And that's why says the Maggid of Trisk, be medactic, look carefully at the words. Says the Gemara in Tainis, when Adar enters, Mishenechnas Adar marben b'simcha. Everyone knows that one. Adar enters, uwa. We decorate, we dress up in costumes, we blast the music. It is a party the whole month of Adar. Marben b'simcha. And Mishenechnas Av, today Rosh Chodesh Av, when we enter Av, Mema'atin b'simcha. We limit the sense of joy. Points out the Maggid of Trisk, what does it say? It doesn't say feel no simcha. Doesn't say walk around sad, down and out, be miserable and farbisana and negative. It doesn't say that. What do Chazal, what do our rabbis tell us? That mishenichnas av, mematin besimcha. You have to have simcha. I've shared before, Rav Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, points out that simcha is like a pilot light. Do you know what a pilot light is? Remember people had pilot lights? Today have electric stovetops, even the gas stovetops, just have this ignition. But there's no pilot light. The pilot light used to be that the stove, the oven, had this permanent fire that was lit, and then you could raise it or lower it, but it was always lit. And Shmuel Shab said, simcha in the heart of a Jew is like a pilot light. Sometimes the month of Adar, we expand the simcha. You turn up the flame on fire with simcha. In the month of Av, we turn it down a little bit. Turn it down a little bit. The month of Av, no music, no haircut, no shaving, no meat, no wine. We turn it down a little bit. But simcha's always got to be there. It's always got to be there. You always have to have a sense of simcha. There always has to be a sense of simcha. Always. Lubavitcher Rebbe, this is not from the Maggid of Trisk. Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe said, a beautiful interpretation. Mishenichnas av mematen. Where do you put the comma? Mishenichnas av mematen besimcha? Period? So Lubavitcher Rebbe said, Mishenichnas av mematen. In the month of Av, a little bit less. How do we do a little bit less? Besimcha. How are you mematen? Besimcha, besimcha, besimcha. So even with the scruff, and even with the need for a haircut, and even with a desire for a little bit of wine, but how do we do all that? Still, we can do that besimcha. Rabbi Moskowitz, at the dedication of Esti's Playground, spoke about, quoted the Alter Rebbe, that a Jew can smile and cry at the same time. The heart has many chambers, and the heart is big enough to be able to, at the same time, feel sadness and happiness. We think that these are competing emotions. We think these are contradictory emotions, and that we have one, we're not being true to the other. If I'm sad, I'm not being happy. And if I'm happy, I'm not being true to sad. But the heart's big enough to hold both. A person can be sad and happy at the same time. And therefore, Mishenechnas Av, in this month of Av, we need to know that even in this month of Av, that we feel mematen, but how? Besimcha. We're doing less. It's true. I want to be swimming. Can't swim. I want to listen to music. Can't listen to music. Mematen. We're doing less because we need to be cognizant and aware. We need to know that it's different. It's not business as usual. We need to know something is missing. But even as we know that, acknowledge that, experience that, and are mindful of that, how do we do it? Bisimcha. Bisimcha. So the 9 days camper of the year is not the one who's the most negative, miserable, down and out, pushing people away. 9 days camper of the year is the one who is diminished, who's doing less, but doing it how, nevertheless, is accepting that they're doing it that way. How? Bisimcha. 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 So that email from the person who had the miscarriage and just had another miscarriage and is living and expressing through that email, we're just darshaning the email. Through that email is explaining. I love how real and raw that email is. That was not written with AI because she's writing. She's writing in the same sentence, having trouble davening, I don't see Hashem, why would he do this? But I'm so thankful that we didn't find out at the first sonogram, only the second would have been even happier and therefore would have been even sadder. And it's a little wink from Hashem and thank you for getting us through this. It's both the yin and the yang. It's this tension, and it's not a contradiction. It's how we live in a real way with the emuna, the anchor that brings us back. Rabbi Goldberg had a Psalm 23 sighting. My family's evicted from our current home. We're living my parents. Hashem blessed them. They have an incredible, welcoming family. It's been difficult. We're looking for the next house for our family. From the day we were told we need to move until now, I've been exercising my emunah muscles, reminding myself I am where I'm meant to be. Not only this, but Hashem had a reason for doing this, and I trust it. Today I was wondering why a good house for us has still not come up. It's been going on for a few months already. I was dwelling on this for a better half of the day when I came upon a daily game on LinkedIn. When I opened it, this is the daily game on LinkedIn. This is the game board. You ready? This is the game board. The daily game on LinkedIn, and in the middle of the game board, a large 23. Not only that, but right underneath the game board, it says, feeling stuck? Tap hint to get a nudge in the right direction. See this? Underneath the game board on LinkedIn, feeling stuck? Feeling stuck? Tap hint to get a nudge in the right direction. So a person who's feeling stuck and asking Hashem, where are you? Why'd you put us here? Opens this game on their phone, sees the number 23 and the words, LinkedIn is asking her, feeling stuck? Get a nudge in the right direction. Wow, Hashem is amazing. Gotta love it. Looking forward to sharing good news soon, and God willing, for all of Am Yisrael. And these emails are amazing. So grateful to the people who send them in. I've been an avid listener to the Emunah for the last 6 months. I never thought I'd send it to Tehillim 23 sighting, even spotting a t-shirt that said Child of God, Psalm 23, last week on vacation. But then it dawned on me, the t-shirt was in Yellowstone National Park, worn by a man standing next to the famous geyser named Old Faithful. So the person standing next to Old Faithful was wearing a shirt that said Child of God, Psalm 23. So you know what I wrote back to her? Avoid the bison. Stay away from the, I don't know if you saw that video. Yeah, avoid the bison. Okay, one more and then we'll get back into our text. I enjoy living with the Emunah podcast. And enjoy listening to so on occasion. This morning, I was feeling particularly in need of a boost of bitachon. Experiencing some difficult family issues. I had a long car ahead of me. I put on the shir to inspire my journey. As I'm driving on the West Side Highway in Manhattan, my car started spontaneously braking. Needless to say, that was quite scary. With the shir on the background soundtrack, I was able to pull the side of the road safely. I'm writing the email as I'm awaiting the tow truck back to my car mechanic. It's been a real avoda to remain calm and not angry. I will now not be able to get to my important destination, as well as being inconvenienced to wait on a very busy and noisy Manhattan street. I keep thinking, this is where Hashem wants me to be. I don't need to understand why, I just need to accept it. And the very day I needed this lesson, I was not only reminded of this, I was actually learning and listening to it in the exact moment I needed it. There are no coincidences. As I sit here making friends with some members of the New York Police Department, as well as a myriad of construction workers and doormen, I am reminded of good and everyday people and the benefits of remaining calm and at peace and accepting where you are and where you need to be at the moment. Thank you for the learning opportunities. May Hashem continue to bestow bracha on our learning community. Amen. Amen. Another beautiful example. You could panic. You could be negative. You could be angry. You could say, I'm a victim. You could say, why me and woe is me? Or you can make friends with the New York Police Department. And you could say, this is where I'm meant to be. I wasn't meant to go at that time. This is where I am meant to be, what we are told in all occasions. Okay, we're on page 75, towards the end of this beautiful essay of Shaul Alter, the Gerer Shashiva, Zol Zayin Gesunden Stark, Shlita. And he was asked, L'famim kasher adam osa asakim v'matzliach. Sometimes a person engages, if you want, there are more source sheets up here. Sometimes a person engages in business and they're successful. Ashar be'yoser kalu lamshich ba'askav. And then it's easy. Keep going. Weiter. Person who's meeting success is driven to continue. Ava kasher einu ro hatzlacha. But sometimes you're trying, you're working. Remember we read last week an email from somebody who says the better part of a year, they've been trying to get a business off the ground, they've gotten nowhere. It was only when they took 3 days off, didn't even look at their phone, didn't send one email, all they did is dive into Hashem. You remember this email? Oh, mother gave him that advice. Always about the mother. You guys always have to make it about the mother. Anyway, so I'm just joking. So he says, sometimes when it's hard to see success, when you don't have success, kashal laham shech, it's hard to keep going. And the question arises, is the reason it's hard to keep going because when you're not being successful, you assume, I'm not being successful because it's all about me. I'm the arbiter of my destiny. I am the answer to my success. If I'm not succeeding, if I am succeeding, I get the credit. And if I'm not succeeding, I get the blame. I am not succeeding. It's hard. And if a person would realize that everything is from Hashem, maybe it wouldn't be hard. Right now, I'm not meant to succeed. Maybe in a moment I am. And therefore, just keep going weiter, because it was never all about me. Hishtadlus is just the means, but Hashem is the answer. V'haya Hashem mivtacho, as we learned. So this is what the Ger Reshiva answered. Zeborer, shemasha atzlacha no senes chishik l'adam lamshich. That which success breeds success. That which success gives us drive to keep going. Yesh b'ze hargasha shakochi v'ozim yadi. It's laced with this temptation to erroneously, mistakenly conclude it's all about me. I'm the one. I get the credit. Aval anachnu lo ke'ila mezuchachim, shenuchal azel zakek lahotzi me'itanu es ha'machshava mikol v'chol she'am shematzlichim. We are not in a position, and this is so validating. This is so why I love Rav Shaul Alter. Hopefully he's going to come back to our community in Mirtz Hashem this year, this winter. The reason I'm so drawn to his Torah is because he's so real and honest. And he says, so validating. Not all of us. He says it's hard. It's hard to live that every moment of the day, to not feel it's me, to be able to have success and not say my hard work, my creativity, my entrepreneurship, my follow through, my sacrifice. And when a person is not successful, most of the time, person is all confused, and a person feels pressure, but this is an opportunity to strengthen our feeling. In other words, when you're riding high, when you're successful, when you land the deal, when you close the deal, when you're making it rain, when you're closing the sale, when you're doing well, when the stock that you picked is going up, you feel, that was me. That was me. And then the next stock, you know, I went through a phase where I was trying to play the stock market. And then I realized the mind has this incredible way of making you only remember the rare times that you were successful. And cognitive dissonance, you forget the majority of the time where you bet wrong. And then I realized there are people who are paid professionals who do this right, not that so much to tell them to manage. So when you pick right, you're riding high. That was me. I'm so smart. I anticipate. I predict. I saw what no one else did. I knew. I'm well read. We tend to take the credit. We think it's us. And then when you pick wrong, then you tend to think, Hashem, why? Why? But that's an opportunity, says the Ger Rosh Yeshiva, instead of blaming Hashem, to remind ourselves and be mechazik ourselves that even when we pick right and even when we have success, it was always Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nasan li, v'adayin nosen li. He gave me and he's still giving me. Omed l'tzidi v'hu mefarnes osi. He's standing next to me. Ki ata imadi. Hashem, you're with me. You're with me on the side of the road in Manhattan. You're with me, unfortunately, in the room in maternity where there's a miscarriage, not a birth. You're with me. You're with me when things are right, and you're with me when they're wrong. I'm just your child, and I'm putting out my hand to my father. This month that we begin today, it's called Av, but that's not really its name. The full name we call it, even when we benched it this past Shabbos, we referred to it as Menachem Av. Menachem Av. The word Menachem means comforting father. Comforting father. Why is this month called comforting father? I just listed the calamities, the tragedies, the disappointments. Why is this comforting? This is a month of sadness. This is a month of pain. Where's the comfort? So the Heilige Kotzker, the great Kotzker Rebbe said, you know why it's called Menachem Av? Kotzker Rebbe said, you see an adult who's reprimanding a child. You see an adult who's punishing a child. What do you know about that parent? Well, I'm sorry, what do you know about that adult? That it's likely the parent. And why can you assume, why can you conclude that if there's an adult who's reprimanding or punishing a child, it's likely the parent? Because the parent is the one who cares enough to reprimand the child, to teach the child, to condition the child, to bring out the best in the child. The random adult walks by and doesn't care what the child's doing or what the child's up to. What does it take? Who's the one who's reprimanding, who's teaching, who's conditioning? who's giving consequences and accountability, that's a parent. The fact that Hashem is teaching us and conditioning us and holding us accountable and urging us and motivating us, that's menachim us. That comforts us. That because he's our father. Only a father. The father cares enough to do that. He's menachim of. He's our comforting father. So says the Gerer Hashiva, we need to know and live that we're his children. We're just children. And we're extending our hand to our father. When all's going well, thank you, Abba. And if we're struggling or failing, we're extending our hand. We need you, Abba. We need you, Dad. We need you, Tati. Whatever you call him. Whatever you call him. Lo letzamtzem es hayedia shehakol mirabbono shalom rak beishu matzliach, ela harchiv es hargasha lekol hazman lechol matzavim. In all times and all circumstances, to know when it's good, it's coming from him. And when it feels like it's bad, we can lean on and turn to him. Ach asa la'adam likvot me'al madrega shalom. The Yer HaShiva continues, it's critically important, I skipped down a paragraph, to not hop from our level. Ha'adam tzarech lahakir es atzma. A person has to know themselves. We have to have self-awareness. We have to know where we're at. L'das ani gashmi v'yesh li hargasha m'siyem ha'shakoch v'otzim yadi. We're only normal. And it's natural. It's natural to feel, I get success. I get credit. This was me. Ani rotz lahargash ani osev ani matzliach. Because we want to be driven. That's what makes us work hard. We don't really want to work hard. It's hard to have drive and ambition when in the end it's all up to Hashem. What gives us that drive, that ambition? What pushes us to want to achieve when we feel that the achievement is the direct result, correlates with our effort? If in the end of the day, you conclude that my effort has nothing to do with the consequence, the result, the outcome, then why would you put in effort? So it's natural. Validates the Gerer HaShiva. Ki yefshar lasig madrega gavosh al bitachon ba'achlata achas. We can't get to that top level of bitachon in one shot. You can't skip to the top. There's no elevator that takes you right to the top. You got to go floor by floor. Chalitzas kaftor kizua havaya shel ha'adam. What it means to be alive, what it means to live life, what it means to be here in this world is to make the climb, is to make that climb. Ha'adam nivra v'hu margish es atzmo kikayim v'nivra. Person has to know that I exist. I am created. This world, there's hiddenness. That's the reality of the world. We want to peel back the layer. We want to take off the mask. We want to remove the covering of this world and have everything just be clear. We want to take away the illusion and just see the matrix and how it's all working. But we can't and we don't, and it's not why we were placed here. We were put in this world. The Hebrew word for world is olam, olam. And the root of the word olam is ne'elam, which means hiddenness. This is a world of hiddenness. And it's up to us to see and to reveal what is hidden in it. Hashem is hidden. You can't see him. He doesn't talk explicitly or directly to us. He's talking to us every day. But you got to extend the antenna and pick up the signal. It won't come if you don't. You got to put on the special glasses where you can see his hiddenness. I just saw it advertised, but sometimes golfers, you know, the ball can get lost in the rough. It's hard to find. Special goggles, special glasses, not goggles, glasses that I don't know exactly how it works, but the white of the golf ball against the contrast makes it pop. Now you won't struggle to find. So imagine you had those glasses you could put on. Shem is hidden, and you don't know why the car broke down. You don't know why the shidduch fell through. You don't know why you were evicted from the house. You don't know why. You don't know why wonderful things are happening. You feel undeserving of them. And you put on these glasses and all of a sudden, ooh, I can see Hashem everywhere. I see the way the dots connect. I see the strings that he's pulling. I see the plan. It's all coming together. It all makes sense. It's all perfect now. We don't get those glasses. We do. They're called emunah. They're called emunah bitachon. We put them on and we can work to see and to feel. But really, they're hidden. And you don't get to on day one, oh, I started going to the emunah shir. I got my free pair of glasses. Now I see him everywhere. And now I live with certainty, clarity, confidence. It all makes sense. It's all good. I live with equanimity. Remember, we learned a lot about that. Equanimity. We learned all about how to live with hishtavus. It's all the same to me. Equanimity. I don't get too happy. I don't get too sad. I can regulate my life because it's all Hashem everywhere. We don't get that. We were deposited and put in this olam, which is ne'elam. We are deposited and placed in this world, which is filled with hiddenness, and our job is to climb level by level. There is no button you can push that takes you to the top floor. You've got to make the climb. By the way, when you make the climb, it hurts. It hurts. She's not here, so I could say whatever I want. But a couple weeks ago when I went away with Yocheven, so we went hiking. We enjoy the great outdoors together. We went on what the app said was a moderate hike, which was directly up a mountain, and included, in addition to walking a steep incline, 604 steps, exactly. 604 steps, which when you start and feel like this isn't a big deal. But if you don't walk up steps regularly, it is very quickly a big deal. Suffice it to say, the next couple of days were very rough to walk anywhere. The legs felt it for several days afterwards. But I'm giving it only because the Ger HaShiva invokes it, and it's a real mashal. There was no button to press to get to the top. At the top, there was a beautiful view. Beautiful view. Here's the deal. There were several times on the walk up where if there were that button, it's possible we would have pressed it. If the button that said, okay, you've taken a few steps, you've walked up a sharp incline, your legs are killing you, you're schwitzing like a chayara, here's the button, press it, it'll take you the rest of the way. It's possible we would have pressed it. And you know what we would have been missing out on? Because it's the work. It's the hard work you put in that when you get there, make it all worth it. It's the hard work that pays off. Lefum tzara agra. It's not Jane Fonda or whoever it was that said, no pain, no gain. I have no idea who said that. But I remember it was some slogan of some exercise or workout thing. No pain, no gain. They stole that from Chazal. Our rabbis taught it. Lefum tzara agra. According to your pain is the reward. No pain, no gain. Anything worthwhile or valuable in life is worth working for and towards. And doesn't come to you with the push of a button. If it came to you with a push of a button, it may not or probably is not worth much. What's valuable and worthwhile in life takes work. That view takes on new meaning. That achievement, that accomplishment that you earned because you put in the work and you made it up. But here's the other thing about those steps. There were several times on our way up that we said, you want to stop? Yeah, let's stop for a minute. Let's stop for a minute. This is the Madriga we're on right now. This is the level we're at. Let's stop. Let's catch our breath. Let's enjoy this moment. Let's wait at this level. And they did that on the way up, and the 604 steps had some platforms with benches on the way up, which was nice feeling that you're not the only out of shape person trying to make your way up. Trying to make your way up. It was always like the dad with the kid on his shoulders flying past you on the way up that made you particularly feel bad about yourself, but that's okay. But there were platforms on the way up because, you know, sometimes when you're navigating this world and trying to make the climb towards Emuna, you hit a platform and you say, this is where I need to stay for a moment. Sit down on the bench. This is where I need to be. This is where I need to dwell. This is the level that I'm at, and it's okay. It's okay to be here. Do I aspire to climb higher? Do I want to go more? Do I want to see this view from the top of Emuna? I want to get there, but I can't skip there, and I shouldn't pretend I'm there. And I don't want to give up on getting there. This is where I'm at right now, and this is where I stay. And this is where I stay until I catch my breath and keep going. Hashem put a covering and made it hidden. Our job is to make the climb. Our job is to make the climb. And again, I love what the Ger HaShiva is telling us. Not have emunah pshuta, have full emunah, see Hashem everywhere. What's the matter with you if you can't? He's saying, be real with yourself and be honest with yourself. And don't pretend you're at a level you're not on. Because you know what's going to happen? You will crash and fall. And to complete his mashal, you know what will happen if you say, let's run to the top. If you say, let's walk really fast, you know what's going to happen? You will pass out and they will carry you down. You will not get where you want to go. If you try to walk too fast, you will not get there. You will give up and you will turn around and walk down. We need to go at the pace we're meant to go. Don't compete and don't compare to others. Don't look at the other person living with incredible bitachon and emunah. Don't look at the people necessarily who write the emails and say, why am I not them? Why don't I go through what I have in my life feeling the exact same way? We need to know ourselves, be comfortable with ourselves, and accept where we're at as long as we're moving in the right direction. As long as we're moving, walk whatever pace you want. Go in whatever pace you want and take however many breaks you need. As long as we keep moving, as long as we aspire to get to the top, as long as we want that great view. When you live a life of emunah and bitachon, the view of the world is unbelievable. What a magnificent view of the world. The world, the olam, which is ne'alam, which is hidden, we reveal it. Right now, the view is hidden. Can't see the waterfalls, can't see the beautiful landscape, can't see the mountain, can't see the view. You can't see it, it's hidden. Only when you get to the top, you reveal it. But move at our own pace, move it the way we can move in order to get where we want to go, in order to get where we want to go. So this month of Av, wish everyone a good chaydish. You say good chaydish. Now we said halal today. So it's true, and it's funny. Sfardim, by the way, who only abstain from eating meat and drinking wine from the 9 days, don't start on Rosh Chodesh, they start after Rosh Chodesh. Lucky you, because Rosh Chodesh, they calculate, is still a happy day. But even if we've already begun Rosh Chodesh, we begin the 9 days, Ashkenazim, on Rosh Chodesh. Mishenech Nesav, Mimma'atin, we're diminishing. But how do we do it? B'simcha, smile. Everyday smile. Even while you're out of breath climbing. Even while you need to take a break and a sip of water. Don't stop smiling. It's easier. The incline is easier when you smile. Do you know that? It's easier. When you're miserable and complaining and you feel like a victim and a martyr and you're angry at whoever made you go on the hike and the climb, when you're miserable, all you're making it is harder for yourself. Whatever climb you're making in life, the climb of Shidduchim, the climb of business, the climb of Shalom Bayis, the climb of Parnassah, whatever climb you're making in life, when you make the climb with a smile, it gets easier. It gets easier. So as we make the climb through Chodesh Av, we make our way through this time of Churban, we can still do so b'simcha. Ivdus Hashem b'simcha applies all year round. All year round. We don't stop simcha, we just lower the flame. We lower the flame a little bit, but the way we do it is still to live with that sense of simcha. Mitzvah Hashem, we should have besoros tovos, yeshuas v'nechamos, and simcha. I forgot one last thing. I got my coffee from the guy, the email. The West Bank Coffee Company, they call it West Bank, we call it home. Roasted in Judea and Samaria, Binyamin, Israel. I haven't tasted it yet, but I can already highly recommend it. Because it's from Israel. So I can't wait to open it. Oh, even without opening it, I could take a little whiff. Amazing, amazing. 250 grams of whole bean roasted for Rav Ephraim Goldberg, medium roast. Unbelievable. From this holy Yehuda Vishomron, Judea, Samaria. Thank you. I highly recommend it. I'm not sure where you can get it, but what a beautiful email last week. And with that, have a wonderful, wonderful day.